And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, our regular analysis of government and politics. I'm Ari Snyder. For the past year, President Donald Trump's immigration crackdown has divided the nation. Perhaps the most vivid example of this divide has been the reaction to an ICE officer fatally shooting a driver, Renee Good, in Minneapolis. ICE and Border Patrol agents arrested hundreds of immigrants in Maine during the first year of the Trump administration, a dramatic increase from previous years. Immigrant communities here have been feeling the effects of Trump's mass deportation push for months. But something shifted this week when reports began surfacing that ICE might be planning large-scale operations in Portland and Lewiston, drawing strong reactions from politicians and elected leaders. I'm joined now by Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. Kevin, you cover politics and I cover immigration, so let's talk through some of what we've seen and heard in recent days, starting with Governor Janet Mills and other Democratic leaders.
Yeah, thanks, Ari. So Democratic leaders all seem to have fairly similar messages. They started by telling the Trump administration and ICE to stay away. Some said it more diplomatically than others, I'd say, but here's a bit of what Governor Janet Mills said.
To the federal government, I say this. If your plan is to come here to be provocative and to undermine the civil rights of Maine residents, do not be confused. Those tactics are not welcome here.
Congresswoman Shelley Pingree went even further. She accused ICE of murdering Renee Good in Minneapolis. And then she said this during a video.
We will not stand by as ICE, CBP, or any other agency tries to terrorize our communities and unlawfully abduct our neighbors.
But at the same time, they all urged Mainers who decide to protest or might be headed out to monitor ICE operations like we've seen in other cities, they basically urge them to be peaceful and respectful toward the officers.
And Kevin, one thing that I'll add here is the tone from local elected leaders, at least in Portland and Lewiston, has been striking. They've been very clear that they don't know exactly what to expect from a potential ICE surge, and they're urging residents, in the words of Portland Mayor Mark Dion, to look out for one another, know their rights, and have a plan if ICE stops them. Remember, Dion has a law enforcement background, both with the Portland Police and as Cumberland County Sheriff, so it's another indication that these federal ICE deployments are seen by some local officials as just way beyond the bounds of traditional law enforcement.
Yeah, and I would just add there that Governor Mills is a former attorney general and prosecutor, and we've heard some of the same things from her in that message that she recorded. She actually tried to make a distinction between Maine law enforcement and federal law enforcement, basically saying that Maine law enforcement undergo substantial professional training and are accountable. And she said they don't wear a mask or shield their identities, and they don't arrest people in order to fill a quota. So that was a clear swipe at ICE.
And shifting back to the federal level, Kevin, what are you hearing from Republicans?
Well, the state's top-ranking and best-known Republican, Senator Susan Collins, she's been pretty quiet. I reached out to her office yesterday about this ICE operation speculation and was told simply, quote, "We have no other information." But she did tell a reporter in D.C. later in the day that she supports deporting people with criminal backgrounds, but she didn't see any rationale for a large immigration enforcement in Maine. Again, we don't know what's going to happen here in Maine, but Republicans have been beating the drum about suspected Medicaid fraud tied to some in the Somali community, and they've been drawing parallels between what's happening here and what's happening in Minnesota, where we have seen ICE targeting members of the Somali community. And this is on President Trump's radar because he has mentioned the potential fraud in Maine.
And what are other Republicans at the state level saying about this?
We are seeing some Republicans say they welcome ICE to Maine. And I have to say, one of the most enthusiastic reactions, or maybe over the top, depending on your perspective, came from Bobby Charles. He's a former naval intelligence officer and an assistant U.S. Secretary of State in counter-narcotics during the second Bush presidency, and he's running for the Republican nomination for governor. I'll play a short clip of a video he posted, but just to kind of set the scene a bit. Charles recorded himself apparently around midnight on the empty streets of Lewiston, the night after these ICE rumors began flying.
And I'm here to welcome ICE to the state of Maine, which as governor, I will very thoroughly welcome ICE and DEA in surge capacity. And I will encourage them to come here, by the way, with the marshals prior to our elections.
And that music just gets louder and louder and more ominous as the video goes on.
Yeah, to the point where it's a little hard to hear what he's saying at the end of the video.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I thought it was interesting that the two top-ranking Republicans in the Maine Senate, basically blamed Mills and Democrats for the current situation. They didn't have much to say about ICE and the operations, and whether they supported them. But both Senators Trey Stewart of Presque Isle and Matt Harrington of Sanford pointed to this new law that restricts police in Maine from cooperating with federal immigration agents. And they say that when local police collaborate, immigration operations like these, they're more targeted, they go smoother, and everyone is safer, including law enforcement and the public.
And that's interesting because, you know, you and I both covered that bill quite a bit last year. There was a big push to get that bill passed, in part because immigration lawyers in Maine said they were seeing a growing number of people ending up in ICE custody through informal cooperation with local law enforcement. And one example that I reported on last year was an Ecuadorian construction worker who got into basically a fender bender, but local police decided to call Border Patrol after that incident, and the man was arrested and eventually transferred to ICE custody.
Right. And, you know, as you reported, we've seen a number of these incidents, but I suspect there are a lot more that we haven't heard about that have happened. But I think it's important to point out that none of the major police organizations in the state, whether that's state police, the sheriffs, or the Chief of Police Association, none of them supported this bill because they felt it tied their hands and could prevent them from working with the feds on important public safety issues. And I'd also point out that Governor Mills was not a supporter either, despite suggestions from the two Republican senators.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, she didn't sign the bill after lawmakers passed it last year. Instead, she allowed it to become law this week without her signature, saying the state needed to do something to push back on the Trump administration's aggressive tactics on immigration, even if she hadn't, you know, originally thought that this bill was the best way to do it.
Right. And here's one other interesting thing. That new law actually won't go into effect until probably midsummer at the earliest, because Governor Mills didn't sign the bill last summer when it hit her desk. This has to do with kind of the rather convoluted way that bills become laws in Maine. But the end result is, because lawmakers skipped town last June and she didn't immediately sign it, the law won't kick in for months. So local police are able to collaborate or coordinate with ICE in any operations, unless their city or town has its own policies prohibiting that, which I would point out that Portland does.
So, Kevin, I wanted to touch on one other point you made in your Political Pulse newsletter. It's the issue of how closely local police can or cannot work with federal immigration agents. Of course, this is not a new question. It sounds like governors in Maine have been going back and forth on this for years.
Yeah, actually, for decades. Some of these things happened so long ago that I actually forgot about them, which I kind of think that might suggest that I've been around too long. But going back to 2004, Democratic Governor John Baldacci issued an executive order prohibiting all law enforcement officers within state agencies from inquiring about a person's immigration status unless they were investigating something that was not tied to immigration. So then 7 years later, on his very first day in office in 2011, Republican Governor Paul LePage rescinded Baldacci's executive order. As part of that, he said, no, all state employees must cooperate with federal officials on anything related to immigration. And LePage's policy was technically still on the books until last month when Governor Mills scratched it out with her own executive order. So yeah, I'd say that this issue, it's getting enormous attention right now in Maine and nationwide because of Trump's, you know, very aggressive immigration policies. But this undercurrent of tension between the states and the feds over immigration roundups, that's been going on for a long time now.
Okay, so lastly, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming elections, because it is officially 2026. The primaries are now only 6 months away. The candidates for governor had to file their latest fundraising reports on Thursday. What did you learn from those reports?
Yeah, all right. So there are currently 21 candidates for governor, 10 Republicans, 6 Democrats, and 5 independents, which is a lot. But coincidentally, it's actually almost exactly the same number that we saw at this point 8 years ago. But there is a lot of money that's flowing into some of those campaigns. Democrats Hannah Pingree and Shenna Bellows, they both broke the $1 million mark. Hannah, who's a former House Speaker and is the daughter of Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, she raised about $1.4 million last year. And then the three other kind of, I'd say, bigger name Democratic candidates also had pretty significant amounts of donations. Angus King III, who's the son of Senator Angus King, he raised more than $900,000, while former Senate President Troy Jackson and former Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah were both over $500,000.
And how about on the Republican side? How is the money race shaping up there?
So Jonathan Bush, who's a healthcare entrepreneur and a member of the Bush family, he raised just shy of $1 million. And his total goes well over that when you factor in his own money that he's pumped into the campaign. Bobby Charles, who we talked about earlier, and David Jones, two other Republicans, they were both in the $500,000 range. And then Owen McCarthy and Ben Midgley were in the 300,000s and 200,000s.
Do these numbers tell us anything about who is leading these very competitive primaries?
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't read too much into campaign fundraising because that does not guarantee success in Maine. I mean, all we have to do is look at former Governor LePage, who was significantly outspent in both of his successful gubernatorial campaigns. But it does show who has the ear of donors and, you know, which can shed light on who has the momentum or who has the most aggressive ground operation. But I'd say, you know, 6 months out from the primaries, it's still way too early to predict who will win the Democratic or Republican nominations.
And that was Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. You can sign up for the Political Pulse newsletter, as well as find earlier conversations like this by going to mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.